I'd like to call the July 8th, 2010 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Mr. Miles?
Here.
Dr.
Raymond?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Warren's not here. Mr. Stevens?
Here. And we do have a quorum. Will all the members of city staff who are planning to testify please come forward and be sworn? Are there any members of the code board who would like to disclose any ex parte communications they've had with any respondent, any party of any code enforcement action? Okay, thanks. Is there any member of council who will be representing any respondents? We have a lien review, which is case number CEB 08071739, 50 West Millard Court. Novella S. Allen is the respondent here. Well, before I get started, will all members of the audience please make sure your cell phones are on silent or vibration mode, please. And when you come to the podium, please speak into the mic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. So help me God. My name is Novella Allen.
Sure.
I notice in the lien review package that we do not have any of the documentation relating to previous board hearings on this. We have the actions that the board has taken, but none of the minutes of those meetings. Without those, I feel very uncomfortable doing a lien review. Unless John is prepared to give us a fairly detailed analysis of what we did in previous board meetings. We obviously levied a fairly substantial fine, and so there must have been some justification for it. And since it was way back there, and when did it start, 07, I don't recall the occurrences of those. So I'd either ask for a continuation until we can get the minutes of the previous meetings or a fairly detailed review of what we did at the boards.
Well, I'll give you a verbal detailed review. Proves that that's the case history. That is the case history in detail. The case began in 2007 by Mark Ellison. The actual violation was working without permits. There were notification problems. There were missed calls, missed mailings, didn't get a notice, got posted, didn't get posted. Ultimately, we've already got the permit issue completely squared away. That was done within a week.
A week of what?
Within a week of identifying what the problem was. Ultimate problem was working without permits. There was storm damage on the back of the house. She was cited for that. She didn't receive the notice. However, she repaired the storm damage. Unfortunately, she didn't have a permit to do the repair. I notified her that she needed a permit for the repair. 3 days later, she asked for me. There was still uncertainty about the notice between Mark Ellison and Ms. Allen. We never really resolved that, the notification issue. Ultimately, I think that this turned into a runaway train. And it never should even get to the point where it was $95,000,
$97,000. Did she ever appear before the code board?
She appeared when we had the permit issue.
Okay, when was that?
The working without permit.
When did she appear before the code board?
I can't recall the date.
What did the code board do when she appeared before the code board?
The code board gave her until the next cutoff to obtain the permit.
Okay, what date was that? Do you know what year
was
that? What year was that?
The year was 2010.
So it went from 2007 to 2010?
Right. There was no communication between anyone between the year of 2007 or between the former code officer and Ms. Allen, 2007. I became involved on a different case for the working without permit, which brought all of this to light.
John, would you say there in a light way was a lack of communication on our part? And
yes,
I would say that.
Would you say, well, partly too, Mark, John, some of that, well, Ms. Allen, it appears as though you were in the military, is that correct?
Yes, I've been here before.
And is that your permanent address, or?
Well, with all the things that are going on, I'm not sure if that's going to be my permanent address or not. I'm starting to like Tampa more and more.
Okay, the point I'm trying to make is, all I was trying to alluding to was, did you update your mailing address? I noticed that on the appraiser's website. And for the property, it lists that actual address as 9, your mailing address.
Yes.
At 950 Miller Court. And I was just wondering if there was a need to update that information so that you could receive mailings if necessary.
Well, now they have my mailing address as 3923, which I know that I can get that mail at any time.
You currently in the military?
I'm retiring.
Retired?
I'm in the process of retiring. I'm on leave right now.
You have military disability retirement?
No, I'm 62 years old, sir.
Excuse me, I can't hear you.
I'm 62 years old.
No, well, I mean medical discharge. Medical discharge.
No, at 60, you're eligible for retirement.
You are active duty.
Yes.
And you retired.
And then I went into the reserves, and now I'm retiring out of the reserve.
Oh, you're saying something about your knees. I thought maybe you had a medical discharge.
My knees?
I guess I misunderstood.
Yes, you did.
I think our members of the board, Dr. Bannerman, don't think this is relevant to the case.
Okay.
Is Allen's health or retirement?
I disagree because their claim is no funds. And, well, we'll let go of that. Let go.
Well, I think it was, Mr. Chair, I think it was clear, according to John, there was a lack of communication here.
Yes.
During the whole process of this, and when she was notified, we know that she received the notice, the problem was fixed 3 days later.
Correct.
Okay.
You spoke to Mr. Ellison on February 23rd. Is that when he handed you the case?
Yes.
Okay. And what did he say? What did he tell you?
He had his opinion. I had my opinion about the notification and the actual violations. Our opinions really don't matter a whole lot. The violation of working without permits.
Okay.
Sure would be nice. We had the minutes of those meetings so we could see what Ellison said and this sort of stuff. We just don't have that background. This is just his report of what he did. It has nothing to do with the meetings, what happened in the code board meetings.
That's the chronology for the entire case.
But there's nothing in there about what the code board decided at those meetings.
Mr. Chair, if I can remember correctly, there was a lack of evidence and stuff during Mr. Ellis' time. It wasn't even available then. Am I correct?
Back in 07?
Yes.
2007?
From then, there was no real communication on paper.
I appeared for a 2003 case. This was about 2 or 3 months ago. And I found out by inquiring about that this gentleman had taken the case over, and that's how I found out that I have a lien on that one already, but that you would not hear the case until I took care of the 2003. So I'm back now.
You're backing up what I've said for several months, that I think that the city needs to be more diligent, even in going beyond what's required. All we're required to do is send you a registered letter, and it's returned. And it was returned undeliverable, and then they posted the property, and then we did nothing. And I think that's our fault. I think we should have made an extra effort to make sure if we want to get that property in compliance, we went the extra step to get to you.
I agree.
So it backs up what I've been saying for months, that we need to find some way to proceed further than just posting the property when we can't get a hold of somebody.
Chair, if I could just let you know that the last case where her lien was reduced, she did pay that, and it's one satisfaction that you did find.
What was that amount?
It was reduced to $312.63.
Okay.
And it was 2,200 originally without interest.
John, what's your recommendation?
I think the lien, you know, has been satisfied. The property's been satisfied. It's in compliance. We need to talk about, regardless of what the history was, we don't have it. We need to be fair here, and and let's settle this.
And be done with it.
And be done with it for everybody's sake.
I would like to at least cover the cost of the city, regardless of what those are. I don't know. Does anybody have any idea what the cost of the city, staff time, et cetera? And I want to be fair, as usual. John, what's your recommendation?
For administrative fee of $1,500.
Okay. How does that sound, Ms. Allen?
Actually, I'm moving.
That's not a fine.
And I don't have the money, so we'll have to do like we did last time. I need adequate time to acquire the funds.
That's just a recommendation. We'll make that final decision.
Okay.
The inspectors recommended a reduction to $1,500. Does any member of the board have any opinion about that or a different amount?
I just want to make sure. So once she received her notice, 3 days later, the property was brought into compliance.
Correct.
So we incurred $1,500 worth of expenses over 3 days.
No, it was over a time.
Over three years.
But she wasn't receiving the notices.
I can only go from Mr. Ellison's notes.
Right.
And his notes are saying that the notice was not received, the property was posted.
Mr. Brown, basically the staff time would entail the inspectors going out, administrative, like Amy, persons like Amy's position, who send notices out, they have to do research. Things like that have to be done, and that's probably where the $15 has come into play or has accumulated, especially with the time of the inspectors going out to re-inspect and inspect, et cetera. That's where those costs may have accumulated.
Do I get to say anything?
Sure. Go ahead,
okay. $1,500, from what I understand, is because of the administrative. If I had been properly notified, those would not have occurred. So I'm willing to try to split it or reduce it or something, because it wasn't my fault that I didn't get it. And besides, I think I protected my country well.
We'll take that into account.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, in light of John's statement that there was a lack of communication on our part, and in light of what was just stated, I would like to make a motion that we reduce the fine to $750.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second by Ms. Hyams. Is there any discussion by any member of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
You follow the same sign? Okay. Motion carries. Reduce your. Yeah, well.
And when
reduce
is it?
Reduce the fee or the fine, Ms. Allen, to $750. How much time do you think you may need in order?
I'm going to need a lot of time. I think Mr. Bannerman, is it? Is under the impression that there's a whole lot of money out there from retirement or something. But I don't have that, and I'm moving back. Now, and I have a lot of expenses going on, and I'm going to need probably until like October or November.
3 months?
Yes.
How does that sound to the board? Do you think you can have it paid by October 31st?
I'm going to do like I did before. I'm going to borrow it.
Okay. Well, if you need more time, we can certainly consider that.
Well, I do need more time.
Maybe December?
December, yes.
Does that sound fair to members of the board? By December 31st, do you think you can actually pay the $750?
Yes.
Chair will entertain a motion allowing the respondent until December 31st, 2010, to pay the amount of $750.
So moved.
If not paid by then, it reverts to the original fine.
Correct.
That's what we've always done before.
Sure. Is that your motion, Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Mr. Brown has the motion. Mr. Harrington, second. Is there any discussion by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Basically, what we've done, Ms. Allen, is we've allowed you until December 31st, 2010, to pay the $750. If it is not paid by that time, the fine will, or the fine will revert back to the original amount of $96,500 plus interest with an accumulated amount of $97,547.06 if it's not paid by December 31st.
And I think the value of the house is about $40,000 or $50,000, so I'll get it done.
Okay.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
If you have any questions or problems, you can contact Mrs. Stinson.
Okay.
But I'm sure you'll get a notice as well from Ms. Hampton.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to address Mr. Brown, if I might.
Sure.
You made a comment that it appeared that the board's fault or the city's fault that she wasn't notified.
Wasn't a comment.
Lack of communication.
Right.
And that was directly from the city. It was supposed to do. The city delivered a certified letter, which was returned and then posted to the property. It's been my feeling for some time that we need to do more than that.
Okay.
But to make it clear that the city did exactly what it was supposed to do and nothing more.
And quoting from John, he said there appeared to be some miscommunication. That's all I was stating.
Yeah,
that was stated from John.
The miscommunication was that she did not get the certified letter and she didn't see the posted property. I think we need to find some way for the city to go beyond just posting the property if they don't do it, so that we don't have cases go from 1997, from 2007 to 2010 before the respondent finds out about it and then corrects it in 3 days. If
can
she'd
we
been notified about it in 2007, she probably would have corrected it in 3 days. In the meantime, went 3 years with property. So if you will support me on this, that we need to do more than just certified letter, and if it's not delivered, post the property. Then
I think the point has been taken, and I hope it's been taken well, that we need to go beyond our typical measures to
That's
get it done.
I wanted somebody else to echo what I've been saying.
Before we move forward, Mr. Politis, would you like to come up?
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, members of the board.
What case are you representing?
This would be agenda item number 3, case number CEB 5-10-92, Ross Meyer, Daytona Motorcycles, Inc.
Just for the record, I'd like to read into the record as well the case number, which is CEB 051092, as Mr. Politis has eloquently stated, Ross Meyer, Daytona Motorcycles, Inc. And that's 510 Main Street.
To bring the members of the board up to date, here's what I was successful in accomplishing. The tenant, which is a cigar shop, had, when it moved in, committed some code enforcement violations. The owner, the Rossmeyer family, when was made aware of it, immediately sent him a notice that he would be evicted if he didn't correct them. In speaking with members of the city, it wasn't a matter of correcting them. They couldn't. It was a matter of removing the tenant. In discussing with the Rossmeyer family the commercial eviction process, the expense, and the attorney's fees and the time, I found a path of least resistance. I had made arrangements for the tenant to relocate to another area within the city where his establishment would be more appropriate, so to speak. And we've accomplished that. In fact, I received correspondence, I believe yesterday, today's Thursday, either Wednesday or Tuesday, from Colleen Miles, saying that where my client, where the tenant wishes to relocate is acceptable. The tenant has agreed to relocate his business and will be in the process of doing so, I think starting tomorrow, that I've been told. So what I'd like to do, and I ask for your indulgence because you have already been generous in granting us some time to accomplish all this, another 30-day continuance. More than likely, the tenant will be gone long before that, but we know 30 days more is sufficient to relocate the tenant, and then the violations will be dismissed. And the reasons why it's important for the Rossmeyers to have the violations dismissed is because they have the vendor capability during the special events, and they don't want to jeopardize that. So we ask you for a last-time continuance to accomplish the goals, and then this matter will be off your agenda and out of your consideration.
They won't be continuing business. They're closed down.
They've been closed since the violation.
No business from now on in that
room. Oh, no.
Well, no. Somebody else will go in there, right?
Well, there'll be another business entity, but not this particular one.
Yeah. And the city concurs with this, so we're fine.
Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous. Well, we didn't really make it.
Didn't do anything last time.
We're just continuing the case. Okay, Ms. Himes has made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Brown has a second. So any discussion by any member of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Well, what was the date, Ms. Himes? Until the next meeting?
August 12th.
Okay.
Cut off August 4th.
Just going to relocate them. At a minimum, I'll get them to remove them.
So, any discussion by any members of the board?
Yes,
we're in all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Well, Mr. Politis, we can continue the case until our August 12th meeting if necessary.
Thank you for your generosity. Have a good day, ladies and gentlemen of the board.
Thank you. Okay. Now we'll go back to our order. Case number one is CEB 1209224 GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated, 37 South Grandview. Is the respondent here? No. What can you tell us, Mike?
This property is in the redevelopment area. It's blight on the area. It's got rats, rodents. This is what it looked like when we first got a hold of it. The redevelopment has go ahead and boarded up all the windows, but it's a blight. And what I'd like to do is ask for a $500 a day fine to max at $20,000, and I'd like it to start in 30 days if they don't demo the building, to try to see if maybe they'll just go ahead and demo it.
Have you got a demo permit applied?
No, they're not doing it.
It's going to take them 30 days to get the permit?
No, not for a demo permit.
And then and demo, though it may.
I'm just trying another way to get them to do something.
Mm-hmm. What's the time limit to get a demo permit, Mike?
How about 30 days after the permit? But they need to start pulling a permit within 30 days.
Okay.
But I know Mark will expedite it because we're really trying to get rid of this kind of stuff. And maybe this $500 a day fine after 30 days or 45 days, whatever you decide, might be what they need to move them in the right direction.
Fine, certain.
Is Seaside Investments local?
Yes.
Local. Who's the owner? Do you know?
It's... he's actually right in the same building as Mr.
Barnes.
Yeah. Trying to remember.
Has there been any contact with the respondent?
No. I mean, he's there. I pull up. He's got video cameras all over his office. That's the location that you have to serve him at. And his car's there, but he won't answer the door. And it says...
registered letter?
He's been...
received?
Yeah, we've actually gotten letters back from them.
It was a year ago that we notified him, 7/27/09.
Yeah, but he's been in bankruptcy, and we got a stay that was sent over to us. So that's what sort of slowed us down.
So he's had a year, and he's done essentially nothing?
But he has a stay from bankruptcy court.
All right. Mr. Chair, what are we allowed to do in the existence of a stay?
According to Mr. Jackson, we can place a fine on the property where we can't encumber the property.
Okay.
So that's why we were trying to get him to move.
We can't import anything on the property.
So if he sells it some way, that is erased, since there's no lien.
The lien will be erased, but we can't. It's not going to be a matter of record.
How would the title company know that?
They don't. I mean, we're at a bad spot right now. We're in bankruptcy. I think we're trying to send a message.
Yeah, that's
right. That's what we do. We do have an emotion. What would be the city message?
Mike, what day were you interested in imposing the fine? You said you wanted to fine certain. Would that be 8/4, 8/1? Or later?
Yeah, we can give them 45 days, you know, whatever you all...
Maybe 9/1.
9/1 will be fine.
And that's demolished.
We want it demoed.
We want a permit pulled by 9-1.
A permit pulled and demolished,
And demolished by 9-1.
Or just permit pulled?
Oh, no. You can get a permit in 3 or 4 days.
Well, I'm sure Mark will push it through. It's a blight. I mean, it's dragging the whole area.
Just want to make sure we're,
For clarification.
No, I haven't had any contact with him. He won't speak to me.
We're trying to encourage him.
Where are we coming from with the demolish? We're just putting that in?
Well, Mark has...
I think looking at it, I think the conclusion is that there's nothing that is beyond repair. If they can repair it in the next 60 days, the only thing that's a reasonable conclusion in the next 60 days, I presume, would be a demolition. So it's not that they cannot reach. I think the effort here has to be from the city. Whatever we're offering is something that can plausibly be done, and a reasonable solution. And the reasonable solution here is a demolition within the next 60 days. I think 30 days.
And the city official also condemned the building, so it's.
But 60 days sounds reasonable. I don't know if.
Tony, can we require that they demolish the building, considering the fact that he's in bankruptcy?
No, we're not
saying
that would solve the problem. They
want to
take that option.
Right. So we're just going to offer an option of demolition and record a fine. Well, not record a fine, but place a fine on the respondent.
What your order should be doing is ordering them to comply.
Right.
The most immediate and reasonable compliance probably would be demolition.
Okay.
But your order is just ordering them to comply.
The engineer comes in there and says, we can renovate it.
Yeah, then
that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
Then they can come and talk about it. Something's happening, and I'm sure y'all would probably be ready to.
Does that fall within that 60% rule or 50% rule?
Well, I mean, that's what that.
Does it fall within that?
I don't know that.
The property's foundation is sinking in the middle.
So the 50% rule would probably apply anyhow. It wouldn't be allowed.
Mark signed it up for the demo. I mean, he's condemned the building.
But
I can't imagine putting the kind of money into that thing that's not...
I understand that just because it has been demolished. I mean, condemned doesn't mean it can't be rehabbed. Because I bought that was actually noted.
Doesn't the city have a rule that you can't... If the cost of rehabilitation exceeds 50% of the value of the property, you're not allowed to rebuild it?
No, you can go ahead and rehab it. You just have to bring it up to code, the code of now.
Yeah. To the current code, which makes it typically not feasible to do. But, yeah, I think it's 65% rule.
Was it 65?
I believe it's 65% without looking at it. But
in value.
Required that they would bring it to compliance with both the building
ADA.
Codes as well as the zoning codes.
Yeah, the ADA and all that stuff.
It's a frame building, so if the foundation is sort of bowed or whatever you want to call it.
Got it.
It's probably a wood floor, so it could be.
It's also been closed up for a year, so it's non-conforming at this point. So it needs to revert back to single family. So they'd have to do a lot.
He's got a big job ahead of him.
All he has to do is knock it down.
Make a motion.
3 months in redevelopment. Yeah, well, I just said it's been knocked down.
Amending our previous order and requiring the respondent to come into compliance by. September 1st?
Yes.
Or a fine certain of?
$500 or above, whatever you like.
$500 a day until compliance is achieved.
Effective what date, then?
September 1st. That's our cutoff date for the September meeting.
Okay. Have a motion by Dr. Bannerman.
Excuse me? $500 a day?
9-1.
Starting 9-1.
We have a motion. What was that now?
Was that 9-1 to cut off? Or was that
the compliance
date?
Compliance by the cutoff.
He was trying to get his attention earlier than that. That's what I thought he was saying.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman. Is there a second? Is there a cap, Dr. Bannerman?
I need a cap on that for up to 20,000, if that's possible. It's too high.
Yeah, I guess. Properties, the land.
10,000, sorry. 20 is good. All right.
What?
A cap of 20,000.
Okay. $500 a day with a cap of 20,000.
Thanks. That's like 40 days.
Excuse me?
40 days.
September 1st for complete.
No, what I'm saying is a cap of 20,000 is only 40 days.
It's just the value of the property. We're trying to.
Okay.
Take your 50,000. Gabby at 50,000.
What's the value of the property?
The value of the property, I think, was 19 or 20 grand.
So why do we need to go beyond the value of the property?
That's why I said 20 grand to start with.
Well, I don't answer that. Just in case there are improvements made and the lien is out there, then we can possibly come back and still apply the lien to the property.
Yeah, but you might have to capture it before closing the necessary down the road. And you don't want a big number.
You say you don't want a big number?
You do not want $100,000 or $19,000
house. So 20,000.
20,000 is fine.
Yeah. Cap at 20,000.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Brown. Is there any additional discussion by any member of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. One opposed. Ms. Hines.
Thank you. Just a quick question, Mr. Chair. Mike, how would we encourage him to go ahead and demo this property?
The $500 fine is sort of like a, you know, incentive, yeah,
okay.
to get it done. I mean, we were holding off because they were in negotiations to purchase the property.
Okay.
But I haven't heard anything this month, and I told them they need to keep in touch with me if they're going to continue. So this is the first month that they didn't contact me to tell me they were still trying to buy it. So we went ahead and used, you know, this means.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you. Case number 2 is CB031051. I believe it's Kahanan Incorporated. And that's 1400 North Atlantic Avenue.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
What's
your name, please?
Dave Grandy.
My name is Mike Patel.
Yes.
Mr. Grandy, what is your position?
I'm owner of Excalibur Builders. I'm the general contractor for the seawall repair.
Okay. Mr. Patel, I believe you're the owner. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What can you tell us, Steve?
Oh, let's see.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker, members of the board. We are here because of an imposition of a fine if they are not in compliance with a perimeter safety fence for the public as well as all the required permits. As of 7-1, both of those were done. I would definitely like to see the board require the property owner and the contractor, if possible, to give the board and the public a monthly progress report on this, mainly because it's been going on for 15 months. It's a public hazard, and it is basically a small disaster in the middle of our city. One of the other things I'd like to accomplish with this process of the monthly is I'm going to start taking non-professional measurements of the remaining standing wall. There's a place where you walk down to the beach, and on the right-hand side, the remaining wall is still there. It is bowing. From the beginning that I've seen it, it was about maybe a quarter of an inch. Now it's probably, without a measurement, pretty close to a half or more. I'm going to start tracking that measurement. A little physics and hydraulics analysis process. It'll be non-professional, but once that thing gets to about an inch, I'm going to start getting nervous walking down there. And then we may have to do something different. In the meantime, Mr. Criswell is working diligently trying to get the EP approval to allow the contractor and the property owner to go ahead with what they have permits for. At this point, it hasn't happened. So that's why I'm going to start measuring, because as soon as this thing becomes imminent, we need to do something with the EP and try to force their hand to let them get this thing under control before it hurts somebody.
That will be a different case. Correct?
No, sir. Same case.
Same case.
At this point, that's correct. But Mr. Chris... Right. There are ways to do it. It's very limited by access. They can't get an excavator between their buildings to reach everything from the top. They can get an extendo hoe up there and probably do some preliminary earth movement, but they're not going to be able to start construction on the wall. But the remaining wall, there has to be a way, if necessary, if this thing becomes imminent, that we can at least get some sort of a supporting system out there to allow us to make it to that November 1st or whatever date it is that the turtles leave our beach.
Is this accessible to the public now?
Absolutely.
Can we not just, if it gets drastic, remove that access?
That is one of the options.
Let the wall collapse, as long as there's nobody there.
Well, it is supporting a 40,000-gallon pool. It has attachments to the south resort. There's a number of complications involved in this that are pretty important.
Sure, I'd hate to have somebody killed with that.
You and me both. But at this point, we're kind of stuck. I know that Mr. Criswell is diligently working. He has bypassed the chain of command. He's working with the supervisors in the DEP organization. They're watching it closely, and that's why I'm going to start tracking it as well.
Steve, just for clarification, did you say the state permits have been acquired?
Yes. All the permits are in place. They have just not been allowed the beginning of the work.
And they have 6 days to erect a fence, or has that been done yet?
All that's been done. The perimeter fence, should be the last photo on this reel. There's concrete also supporting the OSHA-required perimeter fencing, and the permits are in place. And I verified that through permit track and for Mr. Criswell.
I don't think we've set a compliance date. What do you feel should be a satisfactory compliance date?
Well, we have a compliance date.
Yeah. We have
it set in November 3rd.
Okay.
Monthly progress reports.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Reported monthly progress reports from July 8th. We go on October 14th every month.
Okay, great.
Let me ask you this.
Ms. Spoke.
Are you going to be the only one to be constructing the seawall?
Yes.
The
problem is the turtle people. When I say turtle people, I don't know what jurisdiction it is, but we met with Mrs. Bell, and we can only work landward side. We can't go on beach side till November 1st. She did give us approval to basically walk and stand beach side, but we can't bring machinery. So we're still trying to do some work on that north side before November 1st. But as you can understand, it's very difficult. But we're trying to get that work done basically after July. Talked to some contractors about, you know, doing some work, and that's what we're going to do. But the south side, you need heavy equipment. The south side, where the pool is, we can't start until after the 1st of November. And that's start.
So it sounds like we're going to have to amend our compliance date later.
Or you can't comply.
All right. No, I know that's what I mean. We're going to have to amend our order, because if we have a compliance date on November 3rd and they can't get on the beach with machinery, we need to change the compliance date. Tony?
I know we're ordering monthly, and I guess this is a status check that was going on with the wall. Wouldn't we would anything change, possibly? Well, I guess it would, between now and then. So maybe waiting until the October progress report and recognizing where we are.
And I wasn't suggesting we do it now. I'm just trying to let the board know that we are probably going to have to adjust that date at some point in time, but not today.
Would it prove prudent for us to go ahead and do that now, so we wouldn't, you know, have to change it when we get here in November? If we set a compliance date of December the 2nd, would that do, Steve? That'll give, you know, with a month. No. Okay.
What is, in your opinion, how long is it going to take once you are allowed on the beach, pending weather?
At least 60 days.
Okay.
I sort of agree with Tony in that maybe we should wait until the October progress report to see where we are, and then we can set a more fair or reasonable compliance date instead of doing it now, because we don't know what the conditions will be at that time.
That's true.
We're also in hurricane season, so you never know what might happen.
Okay.
And let me say, the owner has been aware of the safety issues. Mark has actually personally called me to make sure the owner, you know, addresses them, and they respond the next day with anything that, you know, you see or Mark sees.
Steve, do you have any concerns about safety at this point to the public?
Well,
is there any action that we can take?
No. That's why I would like to monitor it, because if it becomes imminent, and the only way I can do that is by tracking that large crack at the entrance to the beach. If it becomes imminent and there's the crack that I see is shoving the wall out around an inch, then that's going to also show horizontal cracks on the vertical line of the 33-foot wall. Now, once that gets to that point, I believe the city is going to have to intervene and deny access. There's just no other way to protect the community from something this large, especially when they're walking down through it. Now, the city has been trying to hold off. I personally would have liked to seen it shut down a long time ago and just done, but it didn't happen. So at this point, I'd just like to monitor it closely. I'm going to be there probably weekly, making sure that the perimeter fence is maintained and measuring that visible crack. That's about the best we can do at this point.
And are you going to require the contractor and or the owner to show up for every meeting, or would you like something in writing in terms of a progress report?
I would prefer to have them. And the reason I say this is because, and this has been talking with DEP and with Mr. Criswell, this wall should have been fast-tracked through DEP as soon as it fell. I didn't find it until June. It fell in May. In between that period of time, this thing should have been crammed through the process quicker because of the imminent inevitability of the remaining wall and the north wall. The north wall bows even more than the beach wall. It's leaning over top of another pool. So there's a lot of complications in this thing as far as the construction, and that's why they can't do anything very much from the front. But I'd like to see them show up monthly.
Okay.
And I will be there weekly.
Okay. Gentlemen, the inspector is requiring that you show up for all of our meetings and provide a progress report. Our next meeting will be August 12th, which will be followed by our September 9th, 2010 meeting and the October 14th, 2010 meeting. At which time we may consider amending the compliance date, depending on circumstances. We can't do that at this point. We can, but we're not going to do that at this point. So if you would indulge us by showing up at our August 12th meeting, we would appreciate it. But the compliance date as of today still remains November 3rd, 2010.
Okay, and you will notify us?
Regarding the
August 12th meeting.
I notified you that indicated in the order all of those dates.
That's in here.
That should be sufficient for notification.
That's every month we've got
okay.
It was. We sent out an order, amended order from non-compliance, and all of those dates are indicated in this particular letter of notice.
Okay.
But it's the second Thursday of every month.
Mr. Chair, Amy's going to give him a copy of our meeting dates.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Amy. That's why we pay you the big.
It's the second column.
Okay. Okay, gentlemen, do you have any other comments?
Possibility something might just come.
One of you should be able to make it. If there's a problem, you can notify Mr. Okay. Alderman.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, sir.
We've disposed of case number 3. Case number 4 is CB0510102. I guess it's Uganda and Binda Maharaj and their husband and wife. 333 Michigan Avenue. Just responded here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I probably screwed your name up, but hopefully you'll tell us what it is.
I'm not the owner. The owner's out of the country. The owner's out of the country, and I'm here on behalf of McLeod Enterprises. He's out of town.
So he's the contractor?
Yes.
Okay, would you state your name? And
Sherry Austin. Yes.
Spell your first name, Sherry.
C-H-E-R-R-I.
And what is your position, either with the respondent and or the contractor?
He asked
What's
me to...
What's your relationship?
Oh, he's my husband.
Okay. And has the respondent or the owner given you the authority to speak on their behalf?
Yes.
John, what can you tell us?
Yes, I took over this case. This is actually a new owner for an old case, so this case has been going on for quite some time. The short version is that permits have been applied for all the work that needs to be done. They are still under review. These pictures dated 6/29 are the newest ones, and the exterior has been painted at least. All the good work is done at permits and licensing now, and like I said, Mark Bushwell and Ron Roberts are doing that.
Ms. Austin, what would you like to tell us?
Just that everything had been done. As of Tuesday, the entire house had been completely painted. All of the woodwork, the rotten woodwork and stuff like that, it's been completed.
John, can you give us more information in terms of the unsafe structure portion of the violation?
According to the records that I found, there were two structures on this property way back before the current owner was there. One of the structures was demolished. Both of them were dilapidated. One was demolished. It's the one that's left, and that's where we are now. This one is in the process of being repaired, which is why they have to need for all of these permits.
What are they repairing, though?
According to...
I don't have anything
the
here.
The inspector, he did have a long form, and he told them to secure. Permits are going to be needed for repairs. Actually, he had recommended demolition, okay. But clearly they.
Do you mind if I take a look?
The rehab side. This property has been an issue in the neighborhood for quite a while now. There's a few houses on that street that. Actually, there's another house that almost looks identical to that. And they've both been problem properties for a while.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Their property has no tenants.
It's currently not occupied. No. And no one there right
so
now.
So, what has been the problem? Break ins?
Break ins is.
Guys, you can't talk to each other.
No, we're just reading. Just reading is all we're doing.
The camera's got to be on the bike.
Well, there's two houses in my head.
Mr. Chair, this is not the first time we've seen this, is it?
No.
I think part of our order was for the. I know that light socket up front.
It
the
was
stairs. Were one
was,
of the things that
there was some rotten wood upstairs. There was the light socket. You're correct. Some rotten wood. The screens that were outside they were rotten, and the exterior pressure wash and painting and all of that has been done. Today I can. I don't know if I need to call in for an inspection for you to come out and take a look at it. But as of Tuesday, all of that was completed. The pictures, the front porch wasn't painted. That was the only thing that wasn't done, and it's finished as of Tuesday.
There's some notations there about structural members. Do you know what the referring to there?
Yes, Mark Criswell had came out, and he did that inspection. It was for some floor joists that were rotten. And
they've been replaced?
Yes. On the picture, you can see where it had been stuccoed. That's where he had to cut in through the wall and replace them, and he plastered over.
Have they been inspected?
Yes. Yes, Mark Criswell had did that. Yes.
John, can you confirm that?
Mark Criswell has done at least two inspections.
Okay.
Are you satisfied now, John, that structurally it's all right? That's what concerns me, the structure.
That's outside my realm.
Well, somebody's going to have to certify, because that's one of the discrepancies, is structural. Mm-hmm. So somebody's going to have to look at the structure and say it's okay.
The building inspector.
Wasn't there a problem with those stairs as well?
Mm-hmm. There were some problems. I recall that the stairs were taped off.
Right.
There was a problem with the stairs.
It was rotten wood.
It was rotten wood.
When we looked at it before, it was rotten wood.
That's correct.
Are they safe now?
Yes. Yes.
It's under review, I guess. Engineered, re-engineered stairs, and that's what
Mr. Harrington hadn't seen that yet. Amy?
Oh.
Boy, Mr. Cicino.
Thank you.
What is your recommendation, John?
Being that the permit is still under review, I'd like to amend this to the next cutoff. If it hasn't been resolved by that time, I would like to impose a fine of $75 a day.
Do you feel it's they would have the opportunity to come into compliance by our next cutoff of 8-4?
Yes.
August 4th? How do you feel about that, Ms. Austin? Do you believe that?
I feel it's in compliance now. From everything that was, said before, everything's completed.
Okay.
You got to have it inspected.
Yes, sir.
Before it becomes in compliance.
Okay.
Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance. We find $75 per day effective 8-4?
8-4.
Effective August 4, 2010 until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second by Mrs. Himes. Is there any discussion by any member of the board?
How much was the fine?
$75 per day. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, we've allowed you until August 4th, Ms. Austin, to bring the property into compliance, which, as Dr. Bannerman stated, requires an inspection.
Okay.
In this case, the building official and Mr. Stinson.
Okay.
If not, then we'll impose a fine of $75 per day effective August 4th. Okay. Do you have any questions?
No.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 5 is CB0510103, Stephen Klein, and the address is 337 South Palmetto Avenue. Is the respondent here? Good
yes,
morning.
Stephen Klein.
Just one moment.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, Robert. What can you tell us about it?
He's got a property that had some maintenance issues, as well as a failure to have a rental license.
Okay.
He solved the maintenance issues. He got his rental license applied for. He had his rent inspection February 17th, which failed. He needs a heater, and he has issued a permit for that heater June 11th, and that's where we stand.
June 11th?
Yeah.
So that was almost a month ago. Do you have a heater yet, Mr. Klein?
No, sir. Jack from
buying one, purchasing one?
Yes, Jack from C&J Electric. Has ordered the heaters. He contacted me last Thursday. He said the people have some of the parts in, but they have to order other parts, and they didn't want to make two shipments. And he assured me once the parts come in that he could have it in within a day. But he doesn't know what time, at what point that those parts are going to be available.
You believe, though, that everything should be taken care of by August 4th, including
I would assume so, sir. I can't speak to that. I don't know who the manufacturer is or anything like that. I have to talk with Jack and have him call him.
Is everything done but the heater?
Correct.
We're not going to need the heater in the next couple of days the way it's been out there.
I don't think so, sir. No, but
he needs the heater for his
yeah, for the permit. Yes.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance.
Second.
Or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to Robert. Well, no, in this case it would just be the one-time administrative fee. $250. Ms. Himes has the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or by any members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, Mr. Klein, we will allow you until August 4th, 2010 to come into compliance. If compliance is not achieved, we'll impose a one-time $250 administrative fee.
Okay. Aye, sir.
If you have any problems, please contact Mr. Kish.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Case number 6 is CB0510105, J. Pridham Incorporated, 303 North Ridgewood Avenue. Respondent here?
Good morning.
No. I am in contact with them. They have been working on the property. They went through redevelopment, got approval for the paint. They've ordered the paint from Sherwin-Williams. There are new pictures showing where they've pressure washed. They have painted the columns of the gas pump. They are working on it. They actually expect it to be done, but I want to amend and give them to the next cutoff.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second by Mr. Harrington. Is there any discussion by any member of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Case number 7 is CEB 0610107, Rosanette Incorporated. The property is located at 245 North Halifax Avenue. Hi again, Mike.
I hate it.
What can you tell us about it? Have you had any contact with the respondent, Michael?
I finally got a... He called me yesterday for the first time.
Notices were received.
Yeah. Notices were received. And his wife's having... is what he said on the phone was his wife's having cancer... and she's there in Miami. The property is 245 North Halifax, and it's located along the bridge. You've got, you know, very nice houses to the north and to the south. And he said the collapse of the economy has he's lost like $3 million, so he's back to work. And he doesn't have the money, and everyone in the building has stopped paying. Okay. The building is located right on the water. All the paint on the, here, there's cracking along the fence. It has cracks along the walls over here, broken windows throughout, at least 3 or 4 of them. The doors don't, some of them don't even have knobs, they're just deadbolts. It's a fire code violation on those.
People living in them?
Yeah, there's people living in them. I've had FPL come out because they've been stealing electricity.
Living in them when the doors don't have knobs and the windows are broken and people are living in those units?
Yeah, no one's paying any rent either.
Okay.
All right. Where the railings take effect, they're sprawling, right? Sprawling. And, so they can give way if it gets bad enough. They're filling cracks with expander foam. They've got lots of wood and stuff on the floor. Exit signs aren't working. Here's another window. Let me go back. Right there, another one. Peeling paint, you know, mold and mildew, cracks in the ceilings.
How long would you say it took for this property to get in that condition?
I've been trying to work with them for 7 months.
I mean, up to the 7 months, would this have occurred?
No, I think it went downhill really quick. Yeah, the tenants that moved in are destroying the building.
But they're not paying.
I mean, there's other stuff that he's done. He's not maintaining for a year now. But, I mean, it's gone downhill big time. They backed into this wall, broke the wall down, and so, you know, it just gets worse and worse. This fence was, you know, okay, and now it's down, so you'll see pictures of that. This is a door here to apartment number 17, and they've got, like, a deadbolt right here, and this is how they used to get in and out of it.
But, Michael, the laundry over the railing is not permitted as well, is it?
No, just outside storage, right?
Dry.
That's the big problem.
Again, railings cracking, it's got all, and then of course you come to more of that, and then of course as you're walking down the things and there's no light, these things will impale you, I guess, if you fall.
Okay.
Are these been in there?
Safety concerns as well?
Yeah, they're fire safety, also building code. I mean, and also the municipal code.
Mr. Chair, he couldn't save himself asking you. If he, these people aren't paying rent, wouldn't it make more sense to evict them and board the place up?
It costs $1,000 per person to evict. $16,000 it would cost him.
Boy.
Now you see.
Michael.
I mean, he explained it to me yesterday. Before that, I was completely, I had no idea why it was going on. Because
in essence, there's a trade-off, though. Maybe the damage that they're causing is more than the expense of eviction, of going forward with the eviction, possibly.
He also has, he tells me he has a $500,000 mortgage on it. Also, at this point, it's not worth, it's worth about that. So he's like.
And it's possible we're going to impose a fine.
Yeah.
Who is Robert Abraham?
It's going to be hefty, I guess, and we'll see if
you
all want.
I have a signature on the signature card. Robert Abraham signed it.
That's, yeah, I couldn't get a hold of the owners.
He's a registered
agent. Oh, okay, that was just curious.
I couldn't get a hold of the owners a couple of times, and finally I found, you know, the attorney, and we went right to his office and handed it to him.
I was wondering if he was the owner or not. That's why.
No.
It's just the attorney.
And now here's the latest thing. They just sort of, now they go in here and they can do donuts and stuff with their cars, and they have go-karts, too. You'll see some photos of that.
Can the city take any action to evict the people?
No. They'd have to place them in another residence or another place to live if we did that. The city doesn't want to take on that responsibility, I'm sure.
This is next-door neighbors. All of his fences leaning into the next-door neighbor's property. Here.
Neil.
That's the other side.
Oh, my.
Good grief.
And now we'll get to the dock.
While you're doing that, Michael, what is your recommendation in terms of a fine?
It's close to $1,000 a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
16 days is good.
Well, it's got like 15 violations at like $60 a piece.
Certainly does. Even in this market.
Okay, so here, all the pilings are being eaten away, and they've never fixed them. Being a hurricane season, excuse me?
Would DEA have to get involved with those pilings?
DEP?
DEP, I mean, excuse me.
Maybe if they're bringing drones in through the...
I'm sorry, DEP.
If he goes to pull... All right, so this one's completely hanging, and my problem with this is both neighbors have just spent, you know, $100,000 or $50,000, or said a lot of money to put brand new docks in, and the first hurricane that hits us, this is coming apart. I mean, this one's just hanging.
Can we prevent anyone from having access to that particular area, the dock?
Done. It's been done, yeah.
Okay.
And there's been condemned.
Okay.
So we closed it off. $60 per violation, 12 violations, $720 for 855, capped at $500,000.
And you said imposed a fine of maybe $1,000 per day?
Yeah, that was before I was talking to them about the dock. And
now, you're not talking about until compliance is achieved. We're just talking about until people are out of there, right?
No, until compliance is achieved.
$1,000 a day is going to take you forever to repair those things. $1,000 a day, my goodness.
Well, I mean, I really just
500,000.
Trying to. The only way out of this thing at this point is for him to put it on the market, have someone come in with a purchase of the building, get into a contract with the city, come before the board, ask them if I rehab the building, clean it up, do what I got to do, put the money into it. At that point, you'll reduce it hopefully, and let this continue on. But at this point, it's just dead in the water if we don't do anything.
I'd like to get some incentive for him to get those people out of there before they get hurt.
Put that in the order. I'm going to maximum fine we possibly can come up with. Plus, we want the place vacated.
Well, keep in mind, though, if I'm speaking correctly, Tony, that if we require that the owner evicts the tenants, won't the city have to make sure that they...
We're not vacating them.
No, we can. If we have... you can order that.
Okay.
Property that's in violation of being not occupied, that's basically the order.
Okay.
That the units that, which looks like every unit, because of the door lock safety, and all of those other issues that they don't occupy those units.
Okay.
I mean, some of it's not complying with anything else on the meeting, but you can order it.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, because it's in redevelopment, that if they empty the building out and it's empty for 3 months, they might have some issues with their zoning. Don't know?
Involuntary, it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, all right.
I mean, as long as it's compelled by our order, that would not affect their time.
Right. Okay. Chair would entertain a motion. In our previous order and imposing a fine of $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved, effective immediately, meaning 7-8-2010, and requiring the respondent to vacate the units that are not in compliance until compliance is achieved, and not allowing the respondent to have any of the residential units occupied again until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
With a cap,
or with a cap of $500,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Ms. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by any member of the board?
I think the fine is too high. I'm going to drive it immediately into bankruptcy, but that's just my opinion.
Sure.
Imposing a fine of $1,000 per day with a cap of $500,000 effective today, and also the complex and units be vacated and not occupied until compliance is achieved.
Correct.
My guess of fines is someone is paying rent.
And that's a civil issue. It's not under the purview of the code board, so.
Just information he told me. I don't know if it's correct.
We have a motion and second. Are there any additional comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Aye.
One opposed. Okay. Motion carries. What I'd like to do, it seems like there are only a few respondents out there. We'll just have the respondents that are here come forward, then we can dispose of the other cases more expeditiously. Is that okay with the board members?
I just got this one case.
Okay. Let's do Danny's first, which is case number 8CB0610108, Joseph P. and Barbara J. Daly, 155 Edward Street. Is the respondent here? Go ahead, Dan.
It's going to be non-compliance and asking for a one-time administration fee of $250.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent non-compliance and imposing a one-time administrative fee of $250 until. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Harrington. Is there any discussion by any member of the boards? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you all like to come up and we can take your cases out of order so you won't have to wait around?
Number 16.
Which one, Amy?
I have number 16.
Case number 16 is CEB0710133, Maryland. Alcantara?
Alcantara, but it's Calequia now.
Okay, and that's 1148 Orange Avenue.
Correct.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Calequia,
Calequia.
Sir, are you going to be testifying?
I'm the husband.
My husband.
Okay. Your name?
Mario.
Can you raise your right hand?
Correct.
Okay, Robert, what can you tell us?
Well, this is just a simple case of they have a paved driveway, but they have so many cars that are also parking on the grass outside of the driveway. So, back in November, I met personally, asked them to park only on the drive. And it didn't happen, so December 31st, I posted the notice of violation. And then I've gone out and inspected several times, and they're still parking in the ground.
Okay. Ms. Colecchio, what can you, what would you say in defense?
Sir, we don't have enough room in the driveway to park because there's five vehicles. We have three children in the house, and then my vehicle and his. They don't all fit, and we can't park in the street because if we park in the street, then everybody's going to complain that they can't pass through Orange Avenue. I don't know where to put the cars.
Robert, do you have any recommendations for them?
Well, I've spoken with the parking enforcement officer, and he says that if you parallel park in the right-of-way, in the right-of-way grass, then that's okay. There aren't any signs posted that say no parking.
Okay. Do you understand what that means, Ms. Colecchio?
So I can park on Orange Avenue.
A portion of your vehicle.
Yeah. The road. You have to park.
How is that
parking? Parallel park, and it would be in the grass to stay out of the road because it's...
Why park in the street?
So if he parks in the street, it would be blocking the road. Orange Avenue is two lanes with a median in the middle, and it's something like...
Very
that's
narrow.
Probably about a 10-foot road, so if you park in that...
Right.
It's better to park in the driveway than it is to park on the street.
You can always you can always get a permit and surface that area, widen your driveway with a permit. As long as you make it a driveway, then you can park on it.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
If I could get the money together for it, sure.
I mean, currently I'm working two jobs right now, and he's disabled.
Is that a single car garage?
I mean, we're trying to make ends meet here.
Is that a single car garage?
Yes, and there's three motorcycles in there.
Oh my God! Five cars.
Well, with the kids, I mean, we have young children.
Teenage kids.
Mr. Chair, just have a question. No, the option came up from Dr. Bannerman of them widening the driveway, but is it possible for them to use mulch or something like that for a driveway, or does it have to be concrete?
I don't think it has to be concrete. There has to be some other surface.
It has to be improved surface. Could be asphalt.
Yeah.
Could be a different surface. Yeah.
Okay.
But, Mr. Chair, they have a single car.
Yes, and they have three motorcycles in the garage.
Yeah, but
they
can probably
widen the garage.
In order for us to concrete the driveway, it's going to take us some time to do it, especially with how much it's going to cost us.
How many? Right, I was just looking at a tandem park, and it looks like it's a pretty lengthy driveway.
Oh yeah.
How many vehicles?
We have three trucks. We have three kids with three trucks, plus my small car, and Anthony's, which is my other son.
Okay. So can you get three vehicles in the driveway?
There's one person that parks in the street. Our neighbor, she parks in the street. Well, the city just came down and fixed the side of the road that got tore up for people going around it. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to put all these cars out there. It's just as easy to leave them in the driveway. They're not bothering nobody.
Well,
it's not like everything's broken up. I mean, the property's in great shape.
What we're saying, Mr. Colecchio, is if you park on the unimproved surface, meaning the grass, you're in violation of city code.
Yeah.
If you can park three of those vehicles.
I was going to throw mulch down, too, but he says, no, you can't throw mulch down.
Hear me out. If you can park three of those vehicles in the driveway safely and put two on the grass parallel parked, you're in compliance. You'll be in compliance. But if you don't do that, you're going to remain in non-compliance.
Yeah. So you're going to be a parking lot attendant now because everybody works. So
yes.
You know, if you're parked in the front,
it seems like an inconvenience, you know? But it's better than having to pay a fine, which we can't impose.
Right, we'll
and that's city code. We can't waive the city code. It's written by the city.
Let me ask you all the questions. Do you all agree that the violations existed at the time of notice?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see it.
Yeah. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance.
Because two of the other cars were already gone.
One moment. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondents in noncompliance.
So moved.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, so second by Ms. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by any members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
All right.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. It's just something administrative that we have to do. Mr. and Mrs. Colecchio, how long do you all think it would take for you to figure out a solution to this violation?
As soon as we go home, we can take care of that.
Okay. understanding now that any additional violations can result in a fine being imposed up to $1,000 per day. Mm-hmm. You can tandem park. Again, it might be a little bit inconvenient for everybody, but then that's better than having to pay a fine. Again, it can be as high as $1,000 per day. It looks like your driveway is fairly long, and you might be able to tandem park two or three vehicles and put the rest on the grass parallel park as long as they're not in the street.
Fine.
Well, Robert, what's your recommendation? They said they can be in compliance by the end of the day, but fine certain? I mean, will fine possibly?
No, I'm not ready to do a will fine.
They can't do a will fine until they get into compliance anyhow, and they're not in compliance now.
Right. Okay, Chair would entertain a motion.
Before you make the motion, is Ms. Colletti, are you the owner of the property?
I am the owner.
You don't have the name on the...
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to amend her name as well. Yeah. Okay. Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until August 4th, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. In addition to that, I'd like to update and amend the respondent's name to reflect her married name, Marilyn Colletti.
Correct.
Okay. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by any members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. We've allowed you until August 4th, 2010 to come into compliance. If you're not in compliance by that date, then you'll be returning for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. But I did hear you say, Mr. Colletti, that you feel that you can resolve the problem today, which would be great. If you run into any problems, though, please contact Mr. Kish.
You contact him anyhow. As soon as you get into compliance, as soon as you rearrange the cars, call him so he can come out and look at it, tell us it's in compliance, and
okay.
It all goes away.
Just go home and take the cars out. You know,
but be sure you call him when you do that. Otherwise, we don't know. He's got to say so.
And keep in mind now, don't go home today and do it, and then you do it again tomorrow. Do what you're doing today, because he will be monitoring.
We're going to have to sit all the kids down and go, you can't party there.
Well, tell them to use the motorcycles, less space.
Yeah, we'll put those out there, too.
You all have any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Yes. In case 24, 313
Okay. Case number 24 is CB07-10141. Carolina Wagner is 313 Taylor Avenue.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Carolina Wagner. Yes, ma'am.
John, what can you tell us about it?
Just started off, there was a house on this property. It was demolished. And unfortunately, the doctor wanted to utilize this as a parking lot to coincide with his business as a non-conforming use.
Okay.
However, he is currently under review and in negotiations with zoning. So I'd like to say non-compliance is set up. Until zoning decides whether or not they're going to grant the variance.
Do you have any comments, Ms.
Wagner? No. Yeah, we already submitted the application to the city, and I have an architect that he's drawing for that, and they just okay. We're just waiting for that.
Do we need to find him in non-compliance?
No.
No. Yes.
No, we need to do that. So okay. He says nothing happens next month.
And Ms. Wagner, do you agree that the violations existed at the time of notice? Do you agree that the space was being used for, as indicated in the pictures?
Yeah, but I want to give you a comment. I got my aunt that lives next at the house that I have there, and she has a lot of guests.
Okay.
And it's just always parking.
Rather the collectors.
Excuse me. and there's people coming and go, and then my husband parked there, the truck, and I do too when I go there. This is the most where we bought the property, just for parking.
How about that falling down shed? What's the story on that?
Is that gone, John?
Yeah,
no, it's gone.
The house that's been demolished.
Okay.
It's already gone.
It's already going. We got a permit for that, and it's just been demolished, and everything's. We're just waiting for the permit.
Okay, Chairman, I want to entertain a motion found in responding to noncompliance and allowing the respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is that such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by any members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. What we've done, Ms. Wagner, is we've allowed you until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance. If compliance is not achieved, we're waiting for the permits, actually, and we can impose a fine or consider a fine up to $1,000 per day. If you run into a problem, though, please notify Mrs. Stenson.
In the meantime, what do? Can we stop parking there? Because it's...
No.
We have to park there.
You got to August 4th. You can park there August 4th.
Yeah, all the way to August 4th. Well, let's hope that we get the permit.
Get the permit.
Actually, you're in violation, Ms. Wagner, and I would not encourage you to have anyone park in that space.
Right.
In that area.
Yeah, this is the area is not as great as ever.
Like Mr. Stevens says, you are in violation, and we would encourage you to come
well,
to compliance as soon as you can.
I barely understand that. I don't know.
I was
going to say that it would be a violation for you to continue parking there at this time. You can be fined.
That business has additional parking accessible from Ridgewood.
Okay.
This right here is access from Taylor Avenue. I think it is adequate parking on the Ridgewood side. At least until we get this resolved.
Is there any way we can maybe block that off or tape it off, John? That will be up to the owner, of course, but...
Like I said, that
or
house
maybe
was,
put
a,
some signage up.
Block, so okay. We've got a house on the left, house on the right. I guess they could.
Would you consider that, Ms. Wagner, maybe taping
no.
it off or...
No, we cannot park in the street because in Ridgewood we're not allowed. They close all this out. It used to be, but not anymore. And Taylor is very, it's like a crack area. Mm-hmm. You cannot park there because it will be vandalized, the vehicle.
Well, if you continue to park there, keep in mind that you are in violation of city code.
Well, you guys are making it very tough. It's just like, okay, well, what can I do to try to have the city to move quickly with this permanent? But we call you about three times.
When you go downstairs, after you leave it, and you go downstairs and give it to licensing, that's for Colleen Mark.
The architect is kind of upset with you because he said he leave you a long message that you never answer back. We submit this June 6th. It's already July 7th.
Right, okay. Well, you can talk to Mrs. Stenson, Ms. Wagner.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
thank
well.
You.
Okay, but I understand. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else who has a case that's coming before the board? Do you have a case, sir? Okay, case number 9. CEB 0610111, Joseph L. Johnson and Trazell E. Johnson. Property is located at 1043 Alice Drive. Bless you. The case is here for imposition of a fine for inoperable untagged vehicles on property, material stored on the exterior of the property. Vicki, did you want to make any comments?
I do. They have done everything that they've been asked to do. The property looks perfect now. The only thing they had to do was get the unlicensed vehicle license, which they called late yesterday and have done, so I just need to go inspect that. So I'd like to amend the next cutoff, and probability is it will not be here again.
Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So mm-hmm.
Would you want to make it fine certain, Vicki?
No.
Sure.
Effective today?
Yes.
How much?
$25 a day.
Okay.
But if they...
If they haven't done it, won't matter.
Okay. Why would you do that? She says they're perfectly cooperative.
Yeah. They've done everything that they've been asked to do, but on the off chance.
Until next month, like we do everybody else. Why would we make it fine certain? You have any doubt that they're going to be in compliance?
There's always doubt.
Yeah.
This has been going on also since March.
Correct.
Almost 4 months.
I think the probability is that it will be taken care of.
Yeah.
On the off chance that it's not, I see no problem with it.
Do you see a need for fine certain?
On the off, I have been told things in the past by other people, not necessarily these people, that they have done things that they are going to do, things that they have not done, and then we're stuck.
Okay.
So on the off chance.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody make a motion?
I thought I seconded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Brown, would you like to amend your order to make it fine certain at $25 per day, effective today?
Say yes. About to say so moved, all in yes, but yes.
Thank you. Ms. Himes?
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Ms. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Was there a cap on that?
Was there a cap?
$2,000.
Mr. Brown?
I'll accept it as a friendly amendment.
Ms. Himes?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
We have a motion. Imposing a fine of $25 per day effective August 4th. If compliance is not achieved, with a cap of $2,000. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay. Yes. $25 per day effective today with a cap of $2,000. Case number 10, CEB 0610115, is in compliance as of 6/11/2010. Case number 11, CEB 0610127, is also in compliance as of 6/11/2010. Case number 12, CEB 0610128, Janice Woods, 350 South Seneca Boulevard. Robert, what can they tell us?
Well, she's set up a permanent yard sale. She had had three yard sale permits on some weekends, 3 weekends worth. They didn't. She put the stuff out first, then she got some yard sale permits. Then things kept growing and growing, and then she's got some even in the backyard now. She doesn't seem to have much intention of moving. It probably doesn't have much capability at this time. I'm hearing that she's still in jail. She gets in and out of jail from time to time. So we're just going to ask for $50 a day fine up to limit of $5,000.
Is there any word as to when she might be able to get out of jail, Robert? Do you know?
I have very little information on that.
How long she's been there?
I have no idea, really.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, just a question. If she's in jail and we impose this fine, is it fair to impose a fine if she's in jail and she can't enforce it?
It's up to the board.
Oh, well. Do we have any, is there any proof that right now she's locked up?
I don't have any, no.
Can we get that information? When, if she is and when she'll get out?
It's just a matter of calling, booking.
Yeah.
At the
it
county
seems
jail.
Like that would be pertinent to any fine we impose when she can get out of jail and comply, if there's no other way
she
to
She has had a lot of time before she went in jail. This case is not new. And
okay.
I did, when I noticed her, I did put the, I posted it on the property, and that posting included putting it in her hand. She happened to be there at the time. So she's had plenty of time to take care of this.
This is since April.
We can't handle that.
That's true. Hey, Mr. Jackson wanted to make a comment.
I probably Robert said it all. The only point I was going to make is we have many respondents who may be in disposal one way or another that we don't have knowledge of. The fact that if someone happens to be in jail, that doesn't eliminate the need to take responsibility of having someone who resolve a problem with the property. So I don't know if it would be fair to discriminate in this circumstance, but it gave a whole lot more reasons why it probably wouldn't be beneficial to discriminate in this situation.
No, I spoke too soon. She's been notified since April, so she's had plenty of time while free to correct this.
Robert, did you say $50 a day, well, effective today with a cap of $5,000? Is that your recommendation?
I said $5,000. Is that what you said?
$5,000
yeah.
With a cap of $5,000.
Correct. I said $50 a day, cap of $5,000 starting today.
Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 per day effective today, 7-8-2010, with a cap of $5,000 until compliance as well. Until compliance to $50 a day, until compliance is achieved, or with a cap of $5,000. Is that such a motion?
So moved.
Thank motion you. By Mr. Brown, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members?
Is there anybody living in the property, in the house now?
It's, I can't really determine that for sure. She has some workers that she hires from time to time, and sometimes they're in the house and sometimes they're not. I've never actually seen them in the house, but I've seen the articles rearranged on the outdoors when I'm pretty sure she hasn't been there.
I think we need to make sure that we not only notify her, but whoever's in the house. That's the thing. If she's in jail, she may not get the notice. If we can get that to somebody that's in the house, they may come into compliance.
Yeah, I can.
And that's what we want. We don't want to fine. We want compliance. So we need to get to somebody that can do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, when I posted the NOVs, I posted everything.
In jail, and if she's going to be there any length of time, we'll notify her in jail.
Well, before we do that, before we actually take a vote, can't we have the city take some action as well to maybe remove the articles from the property?
If she's in jail?
Yes.
Or,
yeah. Live, Barbara? No. Okay. Yeah, there's a possibility of liability, I guess. Okay, we'll scratch that idea. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
The police may know somebody would be happy to be moving there.
Well, when she first put that stuff out there, somebody had, from what I hear, someone had set themselves up as the property owner and was selling her stuff for her. And it was somebody that she didn't know.
Well, she's having a garage sale there. There's got to be somebody there to collect money from people to buy stuff, and they're the ones we want to tell get this stuff going.
Yeah, I've never – when she was active, when I had seen her on the property, there was somebody there from time to time, and I've talked to them.
Now it's just sitting there and nobody taking care of it.
Correct. Now it's just outside storage.
Put a sign up, help yourself.
Ms. Himes?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick vote then. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. So it's $50 per day effective today, and it's capped at $5,000. Just taking a break.
More cases.
Does the board want to take a quick break?
Well, we do that last case, and then we start new cases after the break.
Okay.
We're almost finished.
Case number 13. Is CEB 0610. I'm just making sure we have a quorum.
We have a quorum. We're fine. Go ahead, Ms.
Okay, you're fine.
Go ahead, Ms. Hines. We're fine.
Case number CEB 0610129 is in compliance as of July 1st, 2010. Case number 14 is CEB 0610131, Constance McMillan and Julius Funches. And we're here to consider imposition of a fine.
Did you get one? This is the original, and I'll keep. This was found in the code box this morning?
Yeah, she delivered it this morning.
We're on page 14, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Basically, in this letter, and I'll pass it around, Ms. McMillan is stating that she currently has a new job. She's been on the job for 2 months, and she's unable to take any time off, which is reasonable. Until she's satisfied a probationary period, so she can't make the meeting tonight. She states also that she has acquired two estimates for the roof from Wayne's Roofing and Astro Roofing. She has an estimate for the chimney as well from Cunningham Oil Company. And according to the roofing company, it will be about 3 weeks until they can start due to the permit process and their workload.
and she's taken out a loan to get the repairs done, and she should be closing on the loan within the next seven working days, if not sooner, which is anticipated. It will be July 19th. She says she's also been in contact with the inspector, Mr. Kish, and she's asking for an additional 60 days to get the work done. Robert, what are your thoughts?
Well, she has a damaged roof and everything. You know, she's stated her case pretty plainly in this letter. I was going to amend to the next cutoff, but this is the first time I've actually seen this letter. I've discussed it with her in the past. And I was going to amend to the next cutoff, but maybe 60 days is more appropriate based on this letter.
Maybe September 1st?
Yeah.
We're ready.
Oh, okay. Here, Amy.
You did a good job of reading it.
I do have a signature on the card, but there's no date on it.
I'll make a motion amending our previous motion requiring the respondent to come into compliance by September 1st to return to the board consideration of fine up to $1,000 a day.
Second.
Motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Would the board like to take a break for about 5 minutes or not? Everybody okay?
I'm fine.
Okay. New cases? Case number 15 is CEB 0710132, Jeffrey Corbett, 213 Fremont Avenue. Chair would entertain a motion finding. Well, did you want to make some comments, Bob? Sorry about that. I was sort of getting ahead of myself.
Okay, so 213 Fremont. It's just. Are we on to the next case? Or are we still doing the old one?
Number 15.
Okay. It's a property that's been pretty much abandoned by its owner. It's got people still living in it. They don't pay rent anymore. They don't have any water.
You can't live.
It had the lot was overgrown. It had a pile of trash. The city stepped up and took care of that. Of course, the property is going to have the bill attached. So it's just simply, at this time, non-compliance. And next cutoff, maybe someone will show up, but I doubt it.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent non-compliance and allowing the respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is that such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Has the respondent been notified?
He's been notified. I've tried to get a hold of him. I think I had something. He's been properly notified, and I've made some extra effort.
You received the certified letter?
No, I had to post it on the property as a second resort when I got the unopened letter.
You put it on the property. You don't know he read it.
I have not had personal contact with him.
Did we send him a certified letter?
Yes, I did all the standard procedure, and I posted it on the building.
What's the result of the certified letter?
And as I said, the letter came back unopened, and... Let's see.
So we've got a case where the certified letter came back unopened, he posted the property, and you don't know that he's seen it. He hasn't contacted you yet?
That is correct.
So we got the same case we had before.
And there's no Liz Pendon, so he's not being foreclosed. I looked on rent licenses that he had, and there were two phone numbers. I tried both of them. Well, I didn't make a really good note whether he actually answered or not, but I tried the phone, tried to leave a message. I didn't write down whether I actually got a contact or not, but I did make two phone calls to some old phone numbers I had for him.
Rob, is this the only address that we have for notification?
That is correct.
According to the record. So you've done all of that.
You say there's no water. The water's turned off, huh?
That's also correct.
Electricity?
Last I checked, electricity was still on. And the tenants say the electricity is on, and I had the building official come out to make sure that it was a...
Did you talk to the tenants?
I talked to the tenants in the back, and they say they have electricity. They say they're not paying rent. They say they're trying to get out of there as soon as they can find a new place. I've never talked to anybody in the front.
Nobody pays rent.
And I had the building official out there to check the electricity, make sure they weren't stealing electricity. He said it looked good, the meter.
Well, they're not allowed to live there without water.
That's part of the violation, part of the set of violations that they have.
We have a
kind of motion.
Did we get the motion?
We do have the motion. Motion and second.
Okay. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, we dispose of case number 16. Case number 17 is CB07101134. Janice Woods again, 109 Flamingo Avenue. No occupational license. Steve?
Yes. This was a public complaint made 429 about dorm living, illegal parking, and local harassment from some of the other residents. I did some homework on it, and there's no occupational license, and it is the same property owner as Mr. Kish had an issue with, Miss Janice Woods. The letter came back refused, and she has actually three legal residents, one of them being this one, one of Mr. Kish, and another one. I posted all three. This one is also a sober living environment, so she couldn't possibly live there. It would be illegal for that. So at this time, it's not going to get resolved, but at this point we have no other avenue other than next cutoff and then a $250 administrative fine.
Chair would entertain a motion found a respondent in noncompliance and allowing a respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time and $250 administrative fee. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 18, CB07101135 is in compliance as of 6/25/2010. Case number 19, CB07101136, Richard F. and Suzanne McGreevy, 900 North Wild Olive Avenue. That's Steve, that's yours as well.
This is another one that has been letter returned and refused. I previously opened up a case on this at 10/28/09 for the exact same scenario and closed at 2/10. So they went quite a ways right to code board before they actually came into compliance. And then almost immediately I started getting complaints. The outside storage, trash debris, trailers. The trailer, I believe, the refrigerator has been removed because I did a drive-by this morning, but the rest of the stuff is still there. I've done numerous inspections. It's been posted on the door. And then a couple of days later, Sergeant Bailey received an email that stated that he thought I was targeting him and things come up stolen and doesn't want me to return. So
he has received the...
Absolutely.
He sent you an email. He knows what's going on.
It went through Sergeant Bailey.
Steve, has the trailer been removed or is it still
there? The trailer has been removed, but it will be back. And the interesting thing about the trailer is he tried to justify it on the previous notice of violation that he was going to use it as a handicap carrier for his wheelchair because he claims to be disabled. But every time I have seen it, nothing. There's no wheelchair on it. It's always refrigerators, junk, debris, and trash. So...
Basically, he's in compliance then.
No, there's still the that stuff is still there. The outside storage is still there.
I only have trailer parking.
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
I only see a violation of trailer parking.
Oh my! Trailer and outside storage.
This is trail on mowing.
Uh-oh. Well, he's in compliance at this time.
What was the date?
Starting case.
Yes. 7-7.
Make a motion. We find the respondent in compliance, but that he return to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 a day for any future violation of this nature. A will fine.
Correct. That would be good.
We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman. Is there a second? Second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
So we have a will fine for just the trailer parking.
That's the only violation we've got right now.
No.
You're going to do another one for the outside storage, I guess.
Yes, after that long narrative, I will open up another case. Thank you.
Case number 20, CAB 0710137, is in compliance as of June 18, 2010. Case number 21, CAB 0710138, is also in compliance as of June 22, 2010. Case number 22, CAB 0710139, 701 South Martin Luther King Drive Land Trust Agreement, dated 1-15-2010. Care of Trustee LLC as trustee. Property is located at 703 South Martin Luther King Boulevard. No permit. John.
This property remains in non-compliance.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Assess such a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
John, so they painted and did all that work they did without a permit?
That house has been completely renovated.
Yeah.
And there's been no permits issued.
It's going to be hard for him to get a permit.
Obviously, I inherited this case. Well, not obviously, but actually, Rob Kish.
Right, because we bulldozed half of the house, more, you know, the part that was connected to
correct.
It.
Correct.
Okay.
And I also should stop work order on.
How's he going to get a permit now that all that work's been done?
Well, one, they're going to be double feed for the permit, and depending on the building department, they may have to open things up so they can see.
To my knowledge, they just painted the outside. Pass right by and watch them.
Okay. Okay. Are there any additional comments or questions from members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 23, CB 0710140, Freddie Allen and Mallory, I guess it's Owls or Alice, 516 Alice. Pleasant Street.
Mm-hmm. This property is in non-compliance. I did receive a phone call from the property owner at 7:45 this morning, and he stated that the tenants have moved out. But I'm saying non-compliance until I can go by and confirm that.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion found in respondent non-compliance and allowing respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Harrington has a motion. Mr. Brown, second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. And we dispose of case number 24. Is there any miscellaneous business?
Yes, there is. We have a gentleman last month he was on the agenda for 812 Magnolia. I know you don't have the information in front of you now, but he would like to address you.
Well, for the purpose of doing what to Mr. Stetson?
Were you at the magistrate or the code enforcement board? How many people were sitting up there? One? Okay. Never mind.
Tuesday.
So any other miscellaneous business? I thought we had a new inspector. I wanted to have him introduced to the board, but he's gone, I believe.
Oh, Mike.
I don't know who he was. The guy that. No, Mike.
Selector Black gentleman?
Yes.
He works in the water department.
Oh, I thought he was an inspector. Oh, I see.
No, we have a new.
I was going to say, I don't know what your rank is.
What?
Officer Steve Grant, he's our new code liaison. Ron Sherry's still with us.
Okay.
But Steve Jasmine was the previous.
Right.
He's back control.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Steve. Officer Grant.
Some of us attended the conference last week. Yes. I was there. We learned. It's very good.
I had attended previously. That's why I didn't attend this one.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So
we do things right or what?
Yeah, we do things fine. it's a good refresher. He tells all things that we'll look out for. Mr. Hamilton is very, very conservative. And so.
And just before, I'm sure you noticed. We had 24 cases. Rob Kish will be retiring in September. So right now I'm in court with Mark Ellison just leaving last month. We're trying to catch up on all our cases. We're trying to close out as many as we can. And with the summer months, of course, you know that we're very busy with our lot nurses right now. So we are in a more of a reactive mode than our proactive mode right now. As soon as we catch up Rob's cases and we'll have you, we'll see another increase in your caseload. But I just want to let you know that's why your cases are a little down probably this month and next month.
Okay.
As soon as we know what we're doing, whether or not we're going to replace Rob or not, or if they're just going to leave us hanging with just 70.
Well, Mr. Chair, in light of that, I would like to impose a fine of $500 a day on Mr. Kish for leaving us.
That's right.
I was at the city council meeting last night. They made appointments, but they did not appoint somebody to replace Mr. Jones. How do we stand on that?
Do you even know if we have any applications yet? I know we put it out there.
Let the people know.
Yes. Right, they did do some debate, but I know that we have the notice out.
You have no applicants for the board?
Not that I know of, yes.
Sure.
You guys should be beating the criteria.
Well, I can find people who want to be. I know certain criteria.
Yeah, not by ordinance, but I know that the commission has certain house rules on how they do
when the summer months and people on vacation, we could wind up without a quorum. We're in summer months, people going on vacation, we could wind up without a quorum sometime.
Well, do let the chairman know if you're not going to be here, or do you let Amy know? How's it work, Amy?
Usually I get Joe.
Okay. If you see a problem, let the chairman know.
Well, the solution to the problem is replace Jones.
Yeah.
I wonder what that little pretty lady was back there waiting the whole time for. What were you with us for?
Observing.
Why? Nothing. You want to stay in the air conditioning, huh?
You live in the city, want to be on the board?
Would you like to be on the board? No, but Jones is missing. We got a vacancy.
So any other miscellaneous business? Tony, question, comments? Cena? Mr. Harrington?
I mean, is this the first meeting since the workshop, I guess?
Yep.
So I don't know of any workshop recap. I know everyone wasn't there. The only thing I can think of is, I can't think of anything. Is anyone... I didn't plan to say anything.
Well, we introduced our new boss over there, and we got a kind of idea where the fish are.
Yeah, we're all working on the amnesty program.
Right. The commission wants to go forward. Commission seems like they want to go forward with the amnesty program, and we're fine with that.
And probably with having the fixed caps, we'll have to see what happens ultimately in the final ordinance on that. Fixing the process a little more.
Well, we're in the process. I just got a request that I just forwarded to Amy for all the current running fine properties except foreclosed properties. So if every property has a running fine, we're going to look at.
Great.
So
That's great.
No matter how small for this amnesty program. We are also getting ready to do a community cleanup day. We're going to work that in a weed and seed area, which is Ridgewood to Nova, Mason to Shady. I have a meeting with the Black Ministers Association on Saturday. We're going to solicit volunteers. We're probably looking to do this in the 1st of September. We're just trying to figure out how we're going to do it. Target, like I said, the weed seed area. And offer a cleanup day for all these properties that, you know, whether it's outside stores, tires, or whatever. We're going to try to tackle that.
So I invited you to say you have met with them or you will be meeting?
This Saturday morning at 8 o'clock.
Where?
Tubman King Church.
Amy, can you send me an email or something? I'd like to be there if you don't mind. I can beat them over the head as code enforcement chairman. If you don't mind. I'm just kidding. 8 o'clock is early, though, on a Saturday. Actually, that makes sense.
You have to yell.
If I'm in town.
Think of a case I won years ago. Due to lack of communication with property. And I was thinking, if you don't have the paperwork to back up what you're saying, and to our attorney, too, I mean, and if we levy heavy fines, and there's no paper showing that this or that was done, how can we fund them?
If you feel that if you're uncomfortable with the information you got, you could just either continue the case or you can dismiss the case. It's their responsibility, the city's responsibility, to prove the case, not ours. And if we don't give us the information we need, they haven't proven their case. So the best thing to do is either say we don't feel comfortable in going forward today. We want some additional information. Put on the next agenda. Or if they don't want to do that, then the case will be dismissed. But you start dismissing some cases, see how fast you get the information.
I'm not an attorney, Mrs. Hines, but I think if the city takes due diligence and tries to contact the person at the address that's listed on the property, the appraiser site, I think they've done with the basics. Correct?
They have to. Yeah, they have to meet the statute. Yeah.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
There was a lack of, communication there.
We don't know that. We don't know that because we're not. You know, we have two different issues on that. They have to meet the state statute, and they do that. And it's great if they can do something further, but they're not required to do that.
Oh, I know that.
And if I could just say, just following up with what Mr. Sino said, sometimes just your inquiry, it may not be communicated well exactly what the problem is. In some situations, there's actually documentation, but no one's communicated that there's documentation.
Mr. Grant, Officer Grant, do you want to have anything to say?
No, it was my first meeting, and then I'm looking forward to attending the morning.
Why?
It makes my job a little easier.
Sorry, I missed last month.
Yeah. Me too.
I bet you are, yeah.
Sergeant Bailey.
This is your first meeting. You have to treat everyone breakfast.
Really?
Statute 415.
Hey, thanks for taking good care of Bob last month.
No, actually, I may or may not be in town. If I'm in town, I'll try to make the meeting again, if it's okay. Okay. Are there any other comments, questions, concerns by any member of the board? I guess we're adjourned.